We've been looking at the whole issue for the last couple weeks now about the marks of a genuine Christian. Why are we looking at that? Because in John's day, when he's writing this letter, he had to contend with false teachers who came along to the churches then and said that they were teachers of Jesus Christ. They were believers in Jesus Christ, but their actions and their heart attitudes reflected something completely different. It reflected that they weren't what they said they were. And so John wants to make the point in the passages that we've been looking at, and we're going to look at another passage today, that simply just saying you believe is not enough. See, salvation comes by faith, but when you get saved, that is, when you trust in Jesus Christ, it then is reflected in your life in several different ways. And we've looked at those different ways. The first week we looked at when you get saved, it's going to be reflected in you doing the right things. It's going to be reflected in right actions. Simply because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then the next week we noticed, which is what we looked at last week, that it's not just going to be reflected in right actions, but it's going to be reflected in the right heart because you're going to love others, especially love other Christians. And if the love for others is not there, then there's a question about the genuineness of your faith. This week now, as we get into verse 19 through 24, we're going to look at another issue here that maybe distinguishes whether or not we truly believe, and that is the question of what does our heart tell us? What does our hearts tell us? What does your heart tell you concerning your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? So I want you to notice with me now verse 19 through verse 24. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him and in Him and He in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. So in this passage here, John is going to show us the next mark of genuine faith, and that is the issue of what does your heart tell you? What does your heart tell you concerning your faith? Concerning whether or not you truly believe in Jesus Christ. So let's look at the first section there. We're going to look at the condition of our hearts, which we see in verse 19 through 20. And I want you to notice that the very first thing he says to us in verse 19 is this. Notice what he says. And by this, what is he talking about? The issue of right actions being reflected in our heart, the issue of loving one another. By this, we know that we are of the truth. That is, that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and shall assure our hearts, you will have assurance before Him. So what's he saying to us here? The first thing I want you to notice he says is this, that obedience brings assurance. Obedience brings assurance. The point he's making here is that obedience to what God has commanded you brings assurance of your salvation. Now you say, well, wait a minute, now I thought that salvation comes not by my works, but by faith. Yes. It is only by faith that you receive salvation. It's not anything that you've done, not anything that you could do or didn't do or should have done. Salvation alone is by faith in the works of Jesus Christ on the cross for your salvation. Period. But what John's talking about now is this. Because of salvation, because He has entered into your life, because you are now a believer in Jesus Christ, because He's given you a new heart and a new mind, A reflection of a new heart and a new mind is that you're going to now do what Jesus tells you to do. You're going to be obedient to what He tells you to do. And what are some of the things He tells you to do? Number one, do the right things that He tells you to do. And number two, love one another. Love one another. And one another there is referring to loving the brethren or loving other Christians. That's going to be reflected in your life. And so obedience brings assurance. See, I have assurance in my life of my salvation when I look at my life and I see that I'm reflecting those things that He asked me to do. Let me just stop. I need to qualify that for a moment. Because obedience is to His Word, not to a list of man-made rules. What do you mean by that, George? Oftentimes, if you are in our circle of churches, oftentimes you'll know that there are these unwritten rules that aren't in the Word of God that maybe are told to you that you need to abide by in order for you to be a good Christian or in order for you to reflect your salvation. I'll give you a list of them. Some of them have to do with how you dress, what kind of Bible you carry. Some of them have to do with where you go and where you can't go, what you can do and what you can't do, none of which are in the Scripture. But, and so you'll try to do those things. And oftentimes you'll say, boy, I just don't feel right. And I'm going to be honest with you, doing those things aren't going to bring any assurance in your life of salvation. But what will bring assurance of salvation is that when you do what Jesus tells you to do, and the chief among the things that Jesus tells you to do is what? To love the brethren. To love each other. And so obedience brings assurance. So how do I know, the first thing He tells me here, how do I know that I am a believer? I have the assurance of my heart before God because I'm doing the things He tells me to do. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. You notice the difference? It's not for, but because of salvation. The next point He makes here that I want you to see is that He tells us in verse 20, notice what He says in verse 20, for if our heart condemns us, the one thing I want you to see is this, condemnation comes with disobedience. Condemnation comes with disobedience. See, when we, now here's the thing, every one of us understands here that you and I are going to sin. Everybody understand that? Not a person here is immune from that disease. You're going to sin. It may be today you're at home with your spouse and she or he does something and all of a sudden you cop an attitude. Because you didn't like the way that they did something. And that's not necessarily wrong with being a little irritated, but it's that you take it one step further. And the attitude now becomes a verbal response, or the attitude now becomes some sort of action on your part, and before you know it, you have what? Sin. Right? A lot of spouses are laughing here. You understand what I'm talking about. A lot of evil eyes too. Okay. Now, here's my point. We all sin. When we sin, guess what happens? What was that? Oh yes, we fall short of the glory of God. I thought you said it was for the glory of God. No. Now what happens is that your heart condemns you. See, disobedience will condemn you. Disobedience to what God wants you to do will condemn you. First of all, can I tell you why it condemns you? Because when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin, and the Holy Spirit, as He convicts you, that ultimately brings about condemnation in your own heart. Condemnation is a result then of our sin. And so John is saying, look, first of all, obedience brings assurance, but condemnation comes with disobedience. Now, some here maybe feel condemned, and rightfully so, because maybe you've never truly trusted in Jesus. Because your actions don't truly reflect what is a reality, that you've trusted in Him. But the point I want you to see is that condemnation comes with disobedience. But then John goes on and he has to qualify, because immediately everybody recognizes that we're sinners, and everybody recognizes, well, gosh, if I sin, does that mean I don't have assurance? Gosh, does that mean I'm not saved? He follows it up, verse 20. Notice what he says in verse 20. God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. What is he saying here? God assures our hearts of salvation. God assures our hearts of salvation. See, because the fact is, we all are going to sin, are we not? It's not a question of, do I sin? It's a question of when. When am I going to sin? And with that sin comes condemnation. But what he's trying to say to you is that God is greater than your heart. And if you've trusted in Him, He's going to what? Assure you of your salvation. This is why, can I be honest with you, have you ever noticed younger Christians, those who are just saved in the faith, those who have just put their faith in Christ, the number one thing that younger Christians will struggle with compared to an older Christian is what? Assurance of salvation. Why do they struggle with that? Because they are very sensitive to what? Sin in their lives. And when they're sensitive to sin, they realize, well, I just sinned against God. He must not love me anymore. He must not care for me. I must not be saved. But for an older Christian, you've learned 1 John 1:9, haven't you? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin and, you know, and to remove the sin from us. We remember that verse and we're like, oh, I'm okay. But the issue is that God is greater than your condemning heart. And so the condition of our hearts reveals where we're at. Because if you're saved, God also comes into your heart and He brings that assurance in your life that you are saved. That you are saved. So then, now notice now the confidence that that brings. The confidence before God. We've seen the condition of our hearts, but if we have a clear conscience before God because of the fact that we're doing what He's telling us to do, that then brings a confidence in your life. A confidence. And we're going to spend some time here. The first thing I want you to notice, look at what verse 21 says. Beloved, if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Here's what he's saying. Assurance brings confidence before God. Assurance brings confidence before God. If you're not struggling with the issue of sin in your life, and you understand the assurance of your salvation in your life, you then are able to go before God with confidence. Because you ever notice that when you're sinning, who's the last person you want to talk to? God. You ever notice when you're going through bouts of sin and you haven't dealt with sin in your life, your prayer life just kind of falls off? Boom. You can't even point to the last time you talked with Him, because that's like the last person you want to talk to is the person you hurt. Ever notice that? We do that sometimes in our human relationships, don't we? When we hurt someone, we want to avoid that person because we don't want that sticky subject to come up. You ever done that, where you've avoided people? See, we do the same thing with God. When our hearts condemn us, we don't want to go before God, although that's the first place we should go, isn't it? But what John is saying here is that the assurance of salvation, the assurance that God brings us when we have a clear conscience because we're doing what He's asked us to do, we can have confidence to appear before Him. We can have confidence to appear before Him. Let me just make a side note here. You're struggling in your Christian life. Your time with God is not what it should be. You remember when you got with Him and talked with Him all the time? Maybe the thing you need to do is examine your own life first of all, and maybe say, Lord, is there something in my life that I need to deal with? Maybe it's a wrong relationship. Because remember, He commanded us to what? Love one another. So maybe there's something between you and another brother or sister. Maybe it's an issue that you're doing something wrong and you need victory over an area. See, that's affecting your spiritual life. That's affecting your relationship. And you lack confidence when you go before Him because of those things in your life. You lack confidence. And so He says assurance brings confidence before God. Here's the other thing that it does. And this is the wonderful thing. Look at verse 22. This is amazing. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What's He saying to us? It brings confidence of answered prayer. It brings confidence of answered prayer. See, when I'm walking in the relationship with Him because of my salvation, I'm doing the right things. I'm being obedient to Him. I have a clear conscience. I now have confidence to appear before Him. And I only not have just confidence to appear before Him. I now have confidence to know that He'll hear my prayers and answer my prayers in accordance with His will. See, a lot of us are on shaky ground with God in our prayer life because there are things that are not right in our lives. In fact, John's not the only one who says this. Let me give you several other passages that kind of convey this point. First of all, the psalmist says this in Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. What's he saying? If I regard, that is, if I'm spending my time in iniquity, if I'm living in a sin issue in my life, God's not going to hear my prayers. Because my relationship with Him is not right because of the sin. Here's another one, guys. And this one, the Apostle Peter writes, and he's directing it to us men. Listen to what he says. Husbands, in the same ways, be considerate as you live with your wives. He wrote that. Notice what he said. Be considerate. Listen to what he says. And treat them with respect. I don't know if I want to read anymore, but I have to. As the weaker partner. Now, he wrote that. I didn't, ladies. Okay? But notice what he says. And as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Why? Here's the point I want you to make. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. See, what's he saying here? Peter's saying that the way that I treat Lori will affect my prayer life. Did you hear that? The way that I treat Lori, and she'll remember this part. It was Peter who wrote it, Lori. Okay? Consider it in fact. Okay. The way that I treat Lori will affect my prayer life. The way you treat your spouse. I would take it one step further. The way we treat each other, because it's what He commanded us, to love one another, is it not? Will affect our prayer life. And so what He's saying is, if I'm doing those things, I have confidence before God, according to the Scripture here in 1 John, that He will hear my prayers and what? Answer them. Answer them. Answer them. You know what? You're not seeing any prayers answered in your life? Can I ask you a question? Then how are you living? You're not seeing any prayers in your life? Then let me ask you, how's your relationships with others? How's your relationships? It does affect it, doesn't it? That's what he's saying here. Is that when we're doing what we're supposed to do, we will have confidence, and that confidence brings about an opportunity to be with God, to meet with Him. Not only that, an understanding and a knowledge that He will hear us and answer our prayers. Isn't that an awesome thought? But maybe it's not an awesome thought because it just laid a responsibility on us, didn't it? The other thing he says, I want you to notice with me, is this. Again, in verse 22, notice what he says. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What is he saying? Confidence comes with obedience. Confidence comes with obedience. If I am loving brethren. Now remember what we talked about last week. The issue of love is not a friendly love. It's an undeserving love. If I'm loving you even in spite of you, because I'm loving you undeservedly, You don't deserve it, but I'm going to love you because you maybe irritated me or you did something to hurt me, but I'm going to still love you. If I'm loving you with that kind of love, that's what he's saying. That obedience in doing that gives me confidence then before God. Gives me confidence. You're lacking confidence in your life? Can I be honest with you? It's tied to the issue of obedience in your life. Are you doing what God called you to do? Not what man called you to do, but what God called you to do in His Word in your life. He goes on then and talks about the obedience of the heart. What exactly are we to be obedient about? Notice with me verse 23 then. He says this, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." Here's what obedience is. Obedience is expressed in belief and action. Obedience is expressed in belief and in action. Here's what he's saying. This is His commandment, that you and I believe on His name. Now let me just stop for a moment, because in our American English language, we have reduced belief to a knowledge that is only in the mind. But that's not what he's talking about. The belief that he's talking about is not in the mind, but in the heart. See, there's a difference. I can have a knowledge of facts, but that may not mean anything. In fact, James says it this way, even the demons believe and tremble. But it hasn't changed the way they live, has it? See, it's got to be more than just a knowledge of the fact. In fact, I would say this, the demons have even seen them, but it hasn't changed them. What John's calling us to, and this is the commandment for you and I, is to believe with our whole hearts. And with that belief, it's going to then ultimately then be reflected in our what? Actions. And specifically here he says that that obedience is not just in belief, but in actions and particular action. Notice what he said. Again, he gets back to that one action, that we what? Love one another. That we love each other. Why is that so important? Why does John keep telling us this whole issue of that we got to love one another? That we've got to put up with one another? That's basically what he's talking about, because the fact of the matter is, in a group of people this size, somebody here is going to rub somebody wrong. And you know how it is. You may not want to rub somebody wrong, but you got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Maybe you went down to the fellowship time and you were wanting a donut, a certain type of donut, but somebody showed up and ate those donuts before you got there. And now you're a little ticked, you're a little irritated, and the coffee, well, maybe it had a few grounds in it or something. And you maybe make a remark about it and you hurt somebody, or somebody makes a remark to you and they hurt you and they irritate you, and that's just the normal, that's just normal church life, isn't it? When you get people together and they rub shoulders with each other, with the rubbing comes what? Friction. Friction. You know how it is, just even in your own homes, because I mean, all of your marriages, I'm sure that there's some friction in them too. Somebody said no. Write a book. It'll be a million seller. Okay? Now, so here's what I'm saying. So the importance of the fact is that he's telling us, even in spite of who we are and the friction and the rubbing against each other, that we've got to love one another in spite of ourselves. Why? Because John said it in his gospel. By this shall they know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. The world will know that we truly believe in Jesus because we love each other in spite of each other. See, I'll be honest with you. When the world looks at the church and says, oh, they're just filled with a bunch of hypocrites, They're actually telling the truth. And we're offended at it. But the reality is that they see the way we treat each other. And they say, if that's what it means to know Jesus, why do I got to go somewhere and fight? I can just fight at home. And so John says, obedience is expressed in our belief. Do you truly believe Him? And then in our actions. Do you love one another? Do you love each other? Do you truly love each other? You know, it's my prayer, has been, if you come to prayer time, you'll notice it's on the prayer sheets all the time, that I pray and I ask for folks who come on Sunday evening to pray for our church to have a testimony of love in our community. A testimony of love. Because I'll be honest with you, that'll speak far more concerning Jesus than anything. A testimony of love. Here, listen, athletes illustrate what it means to be truly believe in someone in authority. A high school basketball player, for example, who believes in his coach because the coach is a former NBA player, will do whatever that coach says. He believes the coach is right. If the coach says to change a technique in his shooting motion, he will do it even if it feels awkward and initially causes him to shoot worse. If the coach says to run 4 miles a day or lift weights 30 minutes each day, he'll do it even though it hurts. If the coach says pass the ball more or shoot less for the sake of the team, he'll accept that role. Why? Because the athlete believes the coach knows better than he does what it means to be a winner. When you truly believe in a person, an authority, you'll follow that person in complete obedience. But the athlete who doesn't truly believe in his coach will not fully follow his coach. He may believe the things about the coach, that he's the former NBA champion, that he's an honest guy, that his name is Michael something or another. But believing certain information and believing in someone's authority are two different things. Those who believe in Jesus not only believe the facts about Jesus, about His deity, about His atoning death, about His resurrection, they believe that He has the right to direct their lives. True believers follow. That's the point John's making here. It's going to be expressed. Obedience is going to be expressed in belief and in action. And then there's a final thing he tells us here. And that's this. Notice with me verse 24. He says this, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." Here's what he tells us. The Spirit tells us of our relationship with God. The Spirit tells us of our relationship with God. As I'm being obedient to Him, I'm entering into that relationship. He's entering into that relationship with me. And I know that that relationship is taking place with God the Father and with the Son, because the Holy Spirit, who has entered into my life, is going to be assuring me of that relationship. The Holy Spirit is the one who assures you, the one who communicates to you about the relationship that you have with Him. And listen, the Holy Spirit's the one, when you're not right with Him, guess who tells you that you're not right with Him? The Holy Spirit tells you that you're not right with Him. That's called conviction. That's called making you miserable. Until you do what you need to do to restore that relationship. And so the Holy Spirit tells us of our relationship with God. In closing, let me give you three things. Number one, it's a question. What does your heart tell you? What does your heart tell you? What does it tell you? Does it tell you that you are a true believer? Or have you just mentally agreed to some facts? Have you truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? What does your heart tell you? Does your heart condemn you because maybe you have, but the fact is you're not living the way you should be living? Does your heart condemn you because maybe there's a relationship in your life that's not right now because you're not doing the right thing with regards to that person? What does your heart tell you? Your heart will tell you a lot if you listen, but the problem is we don't listen to our hearts very often, do we? It tries to communicate to us, but we just kind of shut it up and say, okay, you know what, I don't need to listen to you right now. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do what I got to do. But in the moment right now, ask yourself, what is your heart trying to tell you? And if you ask that question, you'll get an answer. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. What does your heart tell you? The second thing I want you to notice is this. Do you have confidence before God? Do you have confidence? What's your prayer life like? What's your time with Him like? Are you confident before Him? Or is it on shaky ground? Or is if we were to ask you, so tell me, what's the last time you talked to Jesus about? You can't really tell us when that was or what it is you talked to Him about, because if you were honest, you're lacking confidence because you see some things in your life that are not right and that you maybe should deal with. And let me encourage you. If that's true in your life, you lack that confidence, you lack that ability to go to Him because you're afraid, because you know that you've not done right in this area, or you've got this relationship over here that's not right, remember what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us and to remove that sin from us. That's God. He'll really reestablish the relationship with you. In fact, let me remind you of something. He's the one who initiated it. He's the one who brought it about because of the salvation He gave us through Jesus. Do you think because you messed up, He's just going to say, okay, I wash my hands of you? No. So ask yourself, do you have confidence before God? And if you don't, you just need to go to Him and confess it. You need to go to Him and say, Lord, I need You to help me out in this area. I need You to help me to mend that relationship over here, Lord. I need You to help me to deal with this sin issue in my life, Lord. I need You to help me. And you know what? When you start doing that, guess what? You'll regain that confidence again before Him. You'll regain it. And you know what? You'll begin to see Him answer the prayers in your life again. Because He's hearing you. He's hearing you. And so the final thing is this, allow your belief to be expressed in action. Allow your belief to be expressed in action. If you believe in Jesus, wonderful, then show it. Words are nothing. Words are empty. You think it holds water with my wife if I tell her every day, oh, honey, I love you. Oh, you're just a wonderful woman. You're so precious and everything. And I don't lift a finger around the house to help her at all. In fact, I just throw my clothes everywhere. She could pick them up. And I just get, oh, but I love you. Love you. You know, what do you think she's going to think? I already tell you. Words mean nothing, buddy. You know what I'm saying? And if she doesn't say that, the next time I'm looking, well, where's that shirt? Isn't it washed? Wash it yourself. It's the same thing. If you truly believe in Jesus and you say you love Jesus, then show it in your life. Can I be honest with you? The first place He tells you to show it is in your relationships with one another. Don't say you love Jesus, but you can't get along with a brother. And have you ever heard this stuff? I love you in Jesus, but I don't like you. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. Because true love that He talks about is an undeserving love. It means I'm going to, even though you irritate me, I'm going to love you. And here's the other fact. You're going to be with Him for the rest of eternity anyhow. So allow your belief to be expressed in action. Let's pray.